Hopefully the microphone's better, more effective.
Yeah. Hey Val.
Val.
Are we ready for the phone call?
All right, the August 21st, 2024 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. We'll do a roll call. Joe Nocera?
Present.
Tom DeDonatis?
Present.
Mike Angelo?
Here.
Bill DeFuto?
Here.
DeFuto. And Steve Seidel? I'm here. Okay. I was not here for the last meeting, so if I can ask someone else on the board to make a motion to approve the minutes of the July 17th, 2024 meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the July 17th, 2024 meeting.
Thanks, Mike. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, and I'll abstain. Okay, old business. We have adoption of a decision in the case of Rachel Dugan, case number 2024-17. I'll be abstaining from voting on that case, but I will read the proposed order, the substantive part of the order, and ask another board member to make a motion to adopt that. So number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-419.B Point six regarding the relocation of the one-on-one personal training home occupation from the basement to the garage is granted. Number two, any violation of any condition imposed herein shall be a violation of the township zoning ordinance and shall be enforced as provided in the ordinance. Do I have a motion to approve? To
Can I make a motion to approve?
Okay, thank you, Tom.
Second.
Thank you, Bill. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and again, I am abstaining. Okay, that motion carries 4-0. Okay, next item of old business is a continuance in the case of Johnson Duffy, case number 2024-16. David, I understand, based on some communication earlier today, that that case has been withdrawn. Is that correct?
Yes, the applicant has withdrawn the variance request and are addressing the violation in another manner.
Okay. All right. So if there's anyone from the public who's here for that case, just to let you know, that won't be heard tonight. Won't be continued either as it's been withdrawn. So you're still welcome to stay for any portion of the meeting that you like, but we won't be covering that topic tonight. Okay. As far as new business, we have two hearings tonight. First hearing is in the case of Think Design LLC, case number 2024-18. So, Mr. Luttrelli, is there anyone else who will be testifying in addition to yourself tonight?
Perhaps. I do want to introduce Renee Hess. She is the daughter of the owners, Urban.
Okay. Well, if anyone else might be testifying, let's get you all sworn in at the same time. So if you'd please state your name and your address and or association, business association, that would be great. And then the court reporter will swear you in.
Okay. My name's Irene Bartolome, and I'm here for Desserts Etc. at 840 East Chocolate Avenue.
Or, I forgot you married.
I'm in Los Angeles. 840 East Chocolate Avenue, Hershey, Pennsylvania.
How do you spell it?
It's B-A-R-T-O-L-O-M-E-I.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask how to spell it, too.
And my name is Matt Luttrell, L-U-T-T-R-E-L-L. I'm with Think Design at 1332 East Chocolate Avenue, Hershey.
And if I could just ask you to make sure you're speaking into the microphone, very close to the microphone. The pickup is not good here. As I experienced earlier today when I was listening to the audio from last month's meeting, which I missed, and could barely hear any of the speakers. So, and it also helps our court reporter as well as our township staff to capture the right notes from the meeting. So thank you. Okay. Go ahead and proceed.
Thank you. First of all, I want to compliment whoever decided to get a flat surface up here for the presentation. So as stated, my name is Matt Luttrell. I'm an architect, and I'm here on behalf of the owner and Reenie here this evening. And what we're here requesting is actually a reinstatement of a variance that was granted back in 2022. Unfortunately, I failed to recognize that it expired in January of this year, and while we were working on finalizing the plans, the zoning variance expired, and we didn't recognize it until we made application, got through the building permit process, and was notified at that point that our relief had expired. So in effect, if you look at Exhibit B, I just want to share a couple things prior to presenting the project and what's being requested. So Exhibit B, you'll see in the upper left-hand corner, prior to the relief granted in 2022, there were two cases where the side yard setback on the east side was granted for 4 feet. The side yard setback on the west side was for 3 feet. The rear yard was changed to 17. And then in 2013, there was a variance granted for 67.8% for maximum impervious coverage. So when we came in 2022, the case that's expired, what we were requesting is the 7 parking spaces along South Lane. And we went through, and I can do so again. But prior to doing that, I just want to look quickly at Exhibit C. There are some aerial images in there from Google. And you can see the project. David, could you highlight the project on there? the project is in there, as you can see. And then also, as is noted on these exhibits, there are numerous businesses along there, along South Lane, that utilize South Lane for head-in parking. So as I go through and address the 5 criteria, that will be something that we'll be referencing relative to not changing the character of the neighborhood. So as was the other thing that is unique at this point is, I believe in May of this year, the zoning ordinance was modified and the side yard setbacks were changed, and it now has the side yard setbacks based on the width of the lot. So I believe up to 40 feet is 5 feet is allowed, and then it once you get up to a certain distance, it goes up to 15 feet. And our lot currently, if we were to come in today seeking relief, we would be dealing with the 15-foot setback. At the time of this application, the setback was 5 feet. And again, At that time, we were not seeking relief because it had been previously granted. As you can see, the side yards were 4 and 3 feet. And so that's part of the application you'll see here relative to the 15 feet. It was noted when the reapplication was made. So along those lines, then going down through section B2 on the application on necessary hardship criteria, the first one is explaining the unique physical circumstances of the conditions, and the unique circumstances really have to do with the location and footprint of the original structure on the property line. So the original property, I believe, was it was 40 and 50 feet. They've now been combined, but that existing structure is kind of set back further than the adjacent structures, as you see on Exhibit C. And then relative to the 90-foot width, which is what we're currently working with, it's kind of located in a challenging location in order to push the parking to the back, etc. Like, if we could move it forward and really, if the original structure, if we had redesigned the original structure, probably would be, the structure would be pushed toward the front of the building, but we're working with existing reliefs and existing building structure. So that's kind of the uniqueness component in that it was designed to meet old criteria as opposed to current criteria. If we want to meet current criteria, it's like you tear down and start over. So relative to the physical circumstances or conditions eliminate any possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity with the zoning ordinance. We had noted that variance is required in order to provide the reconfigured required parking necessitated by the construction of a more accessible and accommodating work environment. We emphasize that no new seats will be added to the business. Under a previous relief, it was granted 21 seats. A maximum of 21 seats were allowed. Initially, it indicated inside, and I think it was modified on the previous, on the 2013 zoning variance to just 21 seats. And we'll continue to work with that. We're not proposing to add any seats to the business. I wanted to emphasize there that really the primary purpose of this is currently a lot of the baking activities occur in the lower level, and it's not a user-friendly environment, you know, as far as going up and down, access to the main level. There are certainly some challenges there. So the new project is taking all of those activities out of the basement or the lower level and bringing them up onto an accessible level, a level that's on the same elevation as the existing retail space, and it also provides a ramp up in one location on the end, so it improves accessibility, it improves worker environment, and is much more reflective of today's work environments. So the next question is, did you create the unnecessary hardship? And again, the answer to that is no. You know, in 2000, it was granted the use as a business. A variety of variances have been granted throughout. The business has grown, thrived, has become an integral part to the community. I would imagine more than a few of us in here this evening have been to Desserts, et cetera, and have a sense of the quality of food and the unique character it brings to the Palmdale neighborhood and Hershey in general. So they want to continue to stay in that location where they are. So the next issue is describe why the variance, if authorized, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And I think we showed that earlier on Exhibit C. You can see there are already a number of existing businesses that utilize South Lane. It's not a heavily traveled alley at all. It dead ends on one end, if you would, down near the veterinarian's office. And then at the other end, it kind of wraps around the commercial structure that contains Sherwin-Williams. So it's not a heavily trafficked alley at all. So you can kind of see what's going on there. There are several locations, ingress, egress, as far as car traffic along that neighborhood there. So, certainly not unique. And then as far as the representing that it's the minimum effort necessary to bring it into compliance, we did share that we were actually reducing the overall number of parking spaces from 16 to 14 plus a loading space. So we have 15 total spaces. So we're actually reducing the overall parking by one space, but it's a much more effective and efficient use of the overall area. And then this number allows for the 21 seats. As I shared previously, that was granted relative to existing parking requirements versus seats. And David, I'm assuming the six outdoor seats per parking space. If we went into the ordinance, we would look at six outdoor seats per parking space plus employees or three indoor seats. And there's very limited indoor seating there, if any of you have been there.
Yes. So for a use such as this, we look at one space for every three indoor seats and one space for every six outdoor seats. I don't know if the condition of 21 indoor seats would be applicable at this point, just a condition that the site meet the parking requirements as prescribed by the zoning ordinance.
So at that point, that's the a summary of what's being requested here this evening. Are there any questions?
Questions, Mike?
What did you say the need was for there's what's going on in the basement and what are you doing? Like you said, a more employee friendly or environment, or what's the impetus of all this? Like,
so the existing basement, given how everything's been developed over the years, has very limited and restricted access to the basement, between the basement and the first level. In fact, quite often people go from the interior space to the outside and come back in, just because sometimes it's the easiest way to proceed. So as you can imagine, with a structure of this age, you know, it wasn't developed for the use, and as the business has grown and thrived, etc., the kitchen down in the basement, that's where a lot of the employees work, and the first floor then is primarily retail. The upper levels handle the administrators associated with it. So what will be happening is all of the activities in the basement will now be coming up to the main level, and the only thing that will happen down in the basement is really just storage, kind of typical utilization. So it will not be an occupied space per se. There's no use group down there. So.
And you're dropping it from 16 to 14 spaces, did you say? Is that?
Yes, 16 to actually 15. There's a loading space on there. We have 7 and 7, and then we do have a loading space that's in there that will be able to be utilized. So.
Okay.
Just to clarify, there was no loading space before. It's just 16 regular space. To clarify, there was no loading space allocated previously. It was 16 total spaces. Now it's 14 regular spaces and one designated for loading. Is that right? For a total of 15. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. David has the Google image up here. They did try to utilize some of that back area for loading, but it always impacted parking.
Right. Is there anything else on? Is there anything on the plans that has changed? That's in terms of what you're proposing right now. Is there anything that has changed from what the board heard? And not all of these members weren't necessarily on the board at that time, but that's changed from what we heard in January of 2023.
Nothing has changed as far as proposed buildable area, proposed parking, proposed setbacks, etc. The one thing that has been modified on the design is the area that's indicated as grass. We are proposing a deck area back there to, as you can imagine, sitting out along Chocolate Avenue. It's pretty loud. It's very challenging. It's disruptive. So trying to get a more user-friendly environment on that deck area back there. And the ordinance treats the deck area, which is open boards, as pervious area, so we're not modifying the Is that correct, David?
That is correct. A deck that allows water to pass through it is not considered impervious coverage.
Okay.
So we are trying to make that, again, a little more inviting. Right now, it's just very challenging sitting out, especially somebody with my hearing. I get background noise, and, you know, I might as well not be there.
Okay.
Unless I'm drinking coffee by myself, which I enjoy.
Right. So will the seating out front then go away or not?
We're not proposing it to go away. We're trying to work within the 21 permitted seats and give people an opportunity. So the deck area in the back is really wide enough to kind of allow a row of tables to go down through there.
Okay.
And if you're, again, if you're familiar with some of the activities, sometimes they do have, you know, some music out there, that sort of thing. Sometimes they have flower events, that sort of thing. And again, it's just a little more friendly.
Right. So just to clarify then, the 21 seats that you're talking about are a combination of inside and outside?
Yeah, they just cap it at 21 seats. The
okay.
Variance that's been granted, I thought originally it indicated 21 interior seats,
mm-hmm.
But the 2013 variance just states 21 seats.
Right,
so,
okay.
You know,
so the deck isn't going to add additional seats, just going to kind of redistribute.
Correct.
Is that a fair statement? Redistribute where they will be located?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
One clarifying note, in 2013, all seats were viewed the same by the ordinance. It was the 2017 ordinance change that differentiated between indoor seats and outdoor seats.
Okay. So it could affect the parking requirement, but it would lessen it.
It would lessen
as opposed to increase it or...
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions, Bill? Go ahead.
The area under the deck... is going to be surfaced with what? Is it's probably not
just
grass.
Gravel. It's going to be gravel under the deck, just loose gravel. It won't be compacted. It won't receive any traffic. The intent of that, we won't be walking on it. It'll be completely inaccessible. So, I know if we were proposing a parking lot as gravel, I recognize that the ordinance would deem that as impervious area. And again, I want to emphasize, you know, we're putting it under there, putting weed barrier down, some things, trying to make it as maintenance-free as possible, trying to allow for the water to infiltrate.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, truly act as the ordinance, I believe.
Dave, is that the gravel?
Yes. The way he's described it, it would still be considered pervious.
Okay. Just want that on the record since it's going to be gravel. just one other thing, just for the record, so that you might want to, none of these exhibits, we trust that it's showing the property, but none of the exhibits, most notably the Light Heigl drawing, name the property or the address of the property. It looks like the title block is a Light Heigl advertisement. They don't even name the property or its address. Perhaps just so that the documents are complete, since they may be referenced in the future, submit something that has the name of the property and the address of the property.
Thank you.
Yep.
I did not even recognize that.
That's all right.
I will say one other thing, and David was kind enough to point this out to us. Each of the previous variances that were granted indicated that the properties were being combined, and I think there was a little bit of oversight there. That is actively being pursued at this point. We have been requesting Light Heigl, and I'm not quite sure what happened there, but the property description never made it to Mr. Porter, and Mr. Porter and I just didn't follow up with Light Heigl. So that has been actively re-engaged, and we're trying to get that resolved as quickly as possible so that the properties are combined as was requested. So.
Yeah, I think that was something discussed at the January 23 hearing as well. So that was another question I was going to have for you, but no longer have that.
Yeah.
Joe or Tom, any questions? No. So I just want to be clear on one other thing with this, the whole setback change. So the you said it was the 2013 variance that was granted is what addressed the side setbacks. Is that correct?
It was the 2000
variance. Oh, 2000. Okay,
yes.
Okay.
That granted the side setback.
and relief on the back and on the front as well. And then the 2013 specifically granted 67.8% for
the impervious. Okay, so the side, both side setbacks, then, and David, I'm looking for you to concur here too. Both side setbacks then were addressed in that prior variance, and is that still applicable, or is there something we need to act on as part of this?
The setbacks will need to be reapproved at the current current request, mainly because of the time between the request and this request. Even if these were still applicable, the expansion, the building proposed, is now a non-conforming building, even though it was previously granted variances. It is an expansion of a non-conforming structure of greater than 50%, which would require a variance. So they would either need the variance from the non-conformance section of the ordinance or the setback section. So either way, they're here in front of you for the new part of the building.
Okay, because it'd be greater than, was it 25% expansion of a non-conforming structure?
Greater than 50% puts them into the variance.
Into a variance, but yes. As opposed, 25 to 50% could come to this board for a special exception, correct?
Correct.
But this is more than that, so yes. Special exception doesn't apply.
Correct.
Okay, all right. Just want to be clear on what we're being asked to approve. So, okay. So the proposed addition is closer to the property line, but still no closer than what the prior variance had granted?
That is correct. The proposed addition complied with the zoning ordinance up until May of this year.
Right.
So at that point, we were not even seeking relief on it. We were just designing to the 5-foot setback.
Right.
And then in May, when things were modified, it expanded that to the 15. And
okay. But the prior variance of 2000 was less than the 5 feet. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions. Anybody else have any questions on the board? Okay. Thank you for your testimony. And now I'll open it up for any comments from the public. Is there anybody here from the public that wishes to testify in this case? Or has any? Okay. All right. Seeing none, then the board has 45 days to issue a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you very much for your time and consideration this evening. Have a great evening. Thank you.
Okay, our next order of business is a hearing in the case of Samuel S. McCorkle and Nancy J. McCorkle, case number 2024-19. And so once again, whoever may be testifying, it's easier if we bring you all up at once and get you sworn in at once. So.
Counsel for the case has...
I'm right here. I hear this.
Okay.
I excuse myself to use the bathroom that you would finish that case, so I apologize for that. Claudia Shank with McNeese, Wallace, and Nurek here on behalf of the applicants. And I guess we'll have Mark Jones, who's with Partech Engineering. He's the civil engineer for the project, and Nancy McCorkle. She and her husband Sam are the owners of the property. Nancy and Mark are going to be testifying. So we'll just go ahead and have them sworn in. And while we do that, I can hand out some exhibit packets.
Okay. Yes.
We do.
Megan and Maria, do you have a spelling of names that you need, or do you need them to elaborate?
Sir, what is your name again?
My name, I'm Mark Jones.
Okay. And who are you with?
Partech Engineering and Consulting, LLC.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll just start out with a brief introduction and then we will take some testimony from Mark and Nancy. But the property that we're here to discuss this evening that is the subject of the application, there's an aerial map of the site that is marked as Exhibit 1 in your packet, some labels that our office added to it for purposes of explanation. It's also up on the screen. So these are the properties that are owned by Sam and Nancy McCorkle. It's two parcels of land, 309 McCorkle Road, which is an approximately 50-acre parcel, and then a property located on Church Road, L5, which is about 0.35 acres. It's a large, unimproved tract of land. Despite its size, and it does have frontage on two roads, there is actually pretty limited road frontage for this parcel. As you can see, there's a number of residential properties that separate the parcel from the street. There's always also significant elevation changes on the property near to the right-of-way, and when we get to the next plan that we'll be showing you, you'll be able to see some of those elevation lines, and Mark will explain that to you as well. Finally, in terms of the conditions of the property, there is a guardrail that's identified with the red dotted line on the plan that runs along the eastern side of Church Road from McCorkle Avenue to that smaller parcel that I mentioned, the 0.35 acre parcel on Church Road, or Church Road, and that is to accommodate elevation changes. So that's another unique aspect of the property. The property is located in the Conservation Zoning District. The applicant desires to subdivide these properties into four separate lots, and the goal would be to retain the largest of those lots for their own personal use and to convey the other three lots that they're creating to other parties for residential use. So what you're looking at is now Exhibit B, or Exhibit 2 in your packet, the subdivision plan. And that shows you the proposed configuration of the four lots created from this parcel. So lot one is in yellow. That's approximately 4 acres. That would have frontage on and access to McCorkle Road. Lot two is about 4.5 acres. That is located in, or shown in pink. That would also access McCorkle Road. And as you can see, that the grading lines are shown on this plan. So you can see the significant grade change and why we're going to McCorkle Road rather than Church with that access. Lot three is in blue. That's 11.4 acres. That would be accessed via Church Road. Again, yes, and where it's being indicated on the plan, there would be a shared driveway between lot three and lot four, which is the residual land. And again, the placement of that driveway is intended to limit conflicts with the grade that you have elsewhere on the site. In terms of the relief that is being requested in connection with this application, both lots 3 and 4 require relief from section 225.303, table 5, and that relates to lot width and lot depth. So there's a requirement in the C zoning district that there be a minimum lot depth and width of 200 feet for lots that are created in the district, and that 200 feet is measured in relationship to the right-of-way. And because these properties have such limited street frontage, were unable to comply with that requirement. So once subdivided, lot three will have a depth of approximately 190 feet as measured in accordance with the ordinance, and that would be from the shallowest point perpendicular to the street right-of-way, and a width of approximately 50 feet. And again, we're measuring the portion of the lot that fronts on the street, so it's a very narrow section. Lot four would have a depth of approximately 148 feet and a width of 105 feet. And again, we're looking in relationship to Church Road when we make those measurements. So with that by way of background, I'd like to have Nancy come up and talk a little bit about their intentions for the subdivision and why they're looking to do this. And then I'll have Mark walk through the plan in greater detail. Want to come up, Nancy?
Okay,
go ahead.
All right, so you can state your name for the record, and why don't you spell your name for the
court?
Okay.
You need a short
Sorry,
one. Oh, I thought you were bringing me a short
one. Should we switch?
They do move.
Okay. Yep, okay. So state your name and spell your last name.
Nancy McCorkle, McCorkel.
And are you and your husband the record owners of the properties that we just described?
Yes, we are.
What is the current condition of this property?
It's unimproved land.
And how is it currently used? Recreation.
Recreation.
Are you proposing to subdivide the property into four lots as was just described?
Yes, we are.
And what, if any, improvements are you proposing on those lots as part of this plan?
We're not doing any improvements.
For lots 1, 2, and 3, the idea would be that those would be sold as estate lots.
Correct.
So someone could purchase one of those lots, come with their own builder, and build a single family house on the lot.
Yes.
And what about lot 4? What's your plan for that lot?
Just continue to keep it for our recreational use.
And you don't have any plans at this point to build a house on that lot?
No, we do not.
Okay. Those are all the questions that I have for Nancy. I don't know if the board has any questions specific to their intentions with regard to the subdivision.
Not the intentions, but what is that little white area just to the west of lot 3 between Church Road, like at the entrance there? That little area where David just was hovering over. Is that part of lot 4?
Part of lot 4.
It is,
so
okay. Okay.
Correct. Yep.
All right, thanks.
And then that area in front of the separating the lot 3 from the street is a separate parcel that's not owned by the McCorkles.
Oh, that's the one. Right. Okay. All right. I got you.
So is the intention to keep that, would you call it lot 5, I think?
Four.
I'm sorry. Lot 4. Is the intention to keep that as a separate parcel or to incorporate that by way of this subdivision into one of the lots? I'm not clear about that.
So that is part of a much larger lot right now. So the subdivision would create that lot 4.
But that's what I'm asking is the parcel that fronts on Church Road, the small parcel that fronts on Church Road.
Has to be incorporated into
combined.
Into lot 4?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to be clear on. Okay.
Come up, Mark.
My name is Mark Jones, Hartig Engineering Consulting, Mechanicsburg, PA.
And what is your position with Hartig Engineering?
I am a principal owner of the firm.
Okay, and can you briefly describe your qualifications and your educational background?
My education is the United States Air Force, and I'm registered in 4 states, Arizona, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and... Okay. It's been a long day.
Well, Pennsylvania is the relevant
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm
registered
as an engineer. Georgia, I'm sorry. Yeah.
There you go.
Sorry.
Registered as an engineer.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're familiar with this property.
I am.
And you prepared or assisted in the preparation of the plan that
correct.
We're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And are you familiar with the Township Zoning Board?
I am.
So using the plan, can you describe some of the unique conditions of the property that made subdivision of this site into four lots challenging?
A couple of things happened here. The geometry of the parent lot, which will create these one residual and 3 new lots, is rather relatively unique, long, skinny, and has limited frontage. It has frontage onto McCorkle Road, which is more of a standard frontage. But the grades from Church Road onto the property are rather steep. We're approaching 30-35%. So you're looking at a relatively steep angle, which is why there's guardrail there now. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so. So that guardrail kind of indicates that it's relatively unsafe to have access or proposed driveway access onto that roadway. So that's challenging the site to begin with. And when this was laid out, it was trying to leverage where we could go, what we could do with this with the minimal relief from the zoning ordinance. And we came up with this particular layout. Typically, it's a flag lot setup. Okay, lot 3 is looks like a flag lot, and it really has to be that way because, again, the aforementioned 3 or 4 lots that are front onto Church Road that cut it out, that little notch there, and the grades that are north of that area are really prohibitive. We would not be able to get appropriate access into there on those grades. So the layout that we presented here leverages 2 things. We combine an existing lot that does frontage onto Church Road within what would be lot 4, and then we provide a common access from Lot 4, which has a gentler grade into the site, into Lot 3, while maintaining access onto Lot 4.
And so the flagpole portion of Lot 3
is really there. It's a paper access because you're never going to use it.
So it's just to provide some street frontage and reduce the amount of the variance that's requested.
Correct. That's right.
And are you requesting any relief for Lots 1 or 2?
No.
Can you describe, again, the lot depth and width for Lot 3 as measured on the plan under the zoning board?
The zoning ordinance requires a measurement being at the narrowest point, so you have a width there of 50 feet, which is the minimum you use for driveway. And then the depth, which would be along that northern property line of the adjacent property, that's the depth that's measured according to the ordinance, although the depth is significantly larger once you get behind in there into the major portion of the lot. You have a significant depth all the way to the back.
And can you do the same then, please, for Lot 4?
Lot 4 is the same scenario there.
And again, you mentioned that there's going to be a shared access drive configuration, and that would be memorialized in an easement that would be recorded.
Correct.
Along with the plan.
When it's processed for a subdivision plan, that would be recorded.
And did you meet at all with staff to discuss this plan and the options before moving forward?
I did meet with staff telephonically. There was another firm that had started this project who had met with your zoning officials. They ended up giving me the project, for lack of a better term, and I picked it up, and then I had a conversation with Mr. Emmerich about this.
And this was felt to be a reasonable resolution.
He indicated that it would be, reasonable.
In your opinion, would it be difficult, if not impossible, to subdivide the property in conformity with the zoning ordinance?
With this configuration, he's raised yes, it would be very difficult.
And the hardships that you've described, the slope, the relationship of the lot to the street, the configuration of the lot, are those anything that the McCourt was creative?
No.
And would the variances that are requested for this application alter the character of the neighborhood or the zoning district?
No.
And really, you're showing single-family residential dwellings on each of these lots, but that's not proposed as part of this.
That's schematic and conceptual at this point, just to show, potential locations. Although when the lots are individually developed by a builder, they may come into the township with a different plan that may be slightly different than where those are located.
But basically what the intent is that these would be single family dwellings on estate lots.
Correct.
There would be three of them. And is the relief that you've requested in the application the minimum relief necessary? Facilitate the plan.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
I have a few questions, if I might. So let's start with the existing property. What is the dimension along McCorkle Road?
Along McCorkle Road, the existing property as it stands now, I don't have it committed to memory, but that would be per the tax map that you. Along the corporate road there, I think it was the old plan. There was a plan developed, or a survey that was done. I don't know as far as the exact dimension here. I don't have it committed there.
Can you venture a guess?
Probably at least 300 feet.
That's 300. All right, thank you. What is the dimension of the frontage on Church Road for the area that's proposed, Lot 2, and the flagpole of Lot 3?
Lot 2 and Lot 1 and 2, you mean?
No, 2 and 3 along Church Road.
2 and 3 on Church. Well, no, okay, on Church Road, you're looking at about 300 feet. On the Corporal Road, you're looking at about 200. I'm sorry, I had that backwards. My error.
I'm sorry, but I believe they're actually longer than that. But a nice survey would be fantastic as far as true dimension, because I believe they're over 400 feet on Church Road, isn't it?
I would say... So the drive approximately, it would be 250, 260 feet along McCorkle of the existing lot. And then along Church Road, you're looking at probably 340, 50 feet combined.
And there's no way to verify the true dimension of that at this time and place?
I could. if you bear with me a second.
It would have been nice to have the survey that was done submitted along with the information.
We can provide the survey. We have one from Life Eagle that was done back in, I believe, the 90s.
Yeah.
And we can provide that for additional if you need that.
Okay. One last question I have is on lot number one. Can you explain, and this is just for general knowledge, what the reason is for that little tail on the right-hand side and why that's not incorporated into lot number three?
I believe that
there's like a little stream. There's some wetlands, and we didn't know if somebody wanted to have like a big garden and wouldn't have access to water. That's why we did that.
All right, thank you.
Other board members? So I have a couple more too. I agree with Tom that, kind of not having dimensions here is making this kind of difficult. And when you say you can submit a survey, you're talking after this hearing?
Well, I suppose we would have to continue the hearing if the dimensions are material for the board.
Well, they may be. I'm a little confused. So maybe please try to give me a little more information then. So lot one and lot two, you're saying you don't need a variance for lot one and lot two. So that means lot one, the dimension on McCorkle Road is going to be what?
It's going to be at least 200 feet.
The ZHB document, if it's to scale, it does have a scale bar. That would be a little over 300 feet. According to this drawing that's submitted in the original application, not what she just sent us in exhibits, but there's a drawing to scale that's indicating to me that that's at least 300 feet of frontage. If the exhibit B that was submitted with the application, not what you just gave us, there is a ZHB drawing that has a graphic scale on it, and according to my rudimentary measurements here, that frontage on McCorkle is over 300 feet.
On McCorkle, how about the dimension on Church Road?
For lot two?
For the combined dimension of the existing property line along Church Road. Do you know that?
It's a lot more than 300 here. Hold on. I'm creating a little thing here.
Okay, along the Corporal Road, 363.42 feet. And along.
I'm sorry, how
wait,
much?
Wait,
is
slow,
that?
Yeah, slow down, please.
No, I'm sorry. Along the Corporal Road, I'm sorry, it's 274.8.
274.8. And this is from the survey drawing? The
survey that was prepared by Life Eagle in July of 1995. And I can forward this PDF to the township if you need it.
And I'll put that up on the screen.
So if you bear with me, I will just need an email address and I can send it immediately.
Okay, so 274.8, is that what I heard that correctly?
That's correct.
For the frontage on McCorkle Road, correct?
Is that the new proposed lot or the existing property dimension?
I didn't hear you tell.
I'm sorry.
The existing property dimension.
Okay, thank you.
And then on Church Road is what?
D who?
H-A-B-I-G.
T-H-A-B-I-G.
Mm-hmm.
At
Dairy Township.
Okay, I sent that there, and it's a PDF copy of the survey that was done by. I thought that was included in the packet. Maybe just a
Do you want to then give the dimensions?
Yeah, that's what it looks like, but.
So is 150 from there?
Well, it comes in.
Yeah, from here.
See, if it comes in, it doesn't get kicked back.
This whole thing, yeah.
Yes.
Right. Which, yeah, it seems about right, but I never trust scales. Except I survey. Survey. Because they're never accurate, you know, approximation.
Did you guys receive that yet?
Yep.
Okay. Something like that.
I guess for purposes of the record, that should, the record should reflect that as exhibit three if we're going to be looking at it.
All right. There's a survey that was conducted by Lyon Hegel. Church Road has an axis, you can see there, in addition to 363.42 plus or down the distance of that per two is in the geometry.
It's a number of lots you can do when you.
It may be somewhere in that plan, it should be. Length of 165, so you've got 400.
Don't do fast.
Unless curve one, unless curve two contains more than that, then pan up like that.
Can you speak into your microphone?
Curve two has 165 plus what? 300 to about 500 feet.
It's gross, right? But then it means everything. So divide it this way, you can't
come back. 510.
Sure, okay.
On the Coracle Road, you have a geometry distance of 274.8 plus a little bit of a curve there, which would be
C1.
35 feet. So
all right.
300 feet. Does that answer, Tom?
Well, the answer that I'm looking for is the actual combination of the curve and the straight line on Church Road is what. Can you add that for me, please?
165. What's the other one? 363. For round numbers, 528 feet.
Wait, say that again. So the straight part is the 363.42, right?
Correct.
Okay, and then the curve is what?
165.2.
165.2. Give me that again. 363, straight part, 0.42. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the reason I ask this is because if you move that proposed property line that between lot 2 and lot 3 to the north, you could actually not need relief for lot number 3.
We did look at that, and I'll actually show you, we can mark this as an exhibit, what that would look like.
That was, we did look into that.
And hopefully this will help to explain why we felt it was preferable to ask for relief.
Is this all the same thing, or is there two? Are there two things here?
No, these are extra
cups. Okay.
Yeah. Why don't you explain, Mark, why you felt this was undesirable as a configuration?
Before you hear, you see this plan here? Oh.
That's what I just handed to them, yeah.
Okay. You look there in lot, what would be lot three, you have a little kind of appendage there that has been created that would be in conformity with the ordinance. However, you still are facing the steep terrain off the road. It would not be functional.
Gotcha.
Well, if you did it the way you have it laid out here, but you could extend that property line back.
Yeah.
so you don't have this odd-shaped piece there.
You're saying the sort of the bottom portion of lot 2 cut that off?
Yeah. Yes. Is there, yeah.
Even if you were to do that, you still wouldn't have street access, and now you've made lot 2 much smaller and less desirable and really haven't added anything, I don't think, practically speaking, to lot 3.
But are you saying that can't be done?
It can be done. I think it
and,
is.
And be compliant, of
and
course.
And not need relief.
Be compliant from a dimensional standpoint, but it wouldn't be functional from an access standpoint because that area that you created, that appendage, is still fronts on some church road. You're still looking at a steep grade to get down.
So, Dave, I have a question for you. Wasn't there a property developed in the past couple of years at 2054 Church Road? A new house built on top of the hill?
Yes.
I believe the gradient of that property is between 20 and 30%, and they achieved the goal. So it can be done. It's just that it's not as favorable.
I mean, we're looking at contours here that were flown, after we topographic survey, they could improve the even steeper than what we're saying. It could be, 30-40% grade coming off that roadway. So without a topographic survey to verify exactly how steep the grade is off of Church Road, we're going off of aerial mapping that's done by the state. And based on that, you can see how close those contours are. Right off the roadway can be prohibitively steep, even in an unsafe condition.
I can tell you something else that works in your favor is that people coming down Church Road to when they hit McCorkle, it's like a swale. And then they speed up like a bat out of hell heading back up that way. So to try to make that left turn in that area where you're proposing to have this little thing, it would make no sense and someone's going to get killed. So as far as not dying, the best place to put the driveway or whatever the access is where you have it. Otherwise, it's going to create all kinds of traffic problems.
It's a beautiful, and that's one of the other things I was going to mention, is a site distance issue when you're coming up and you're leaving at a steep driveway grade. Your ordinances are going to require some type of leveling area before you get to the cross street anyway. You're going to have significant fill, potentially for site distance issues and other things that would be created just by forcing this to be on that particular location.
Yeah, I don't know that the question that Tom's raising, and I'm raising too, is one of access. You're saying you don't need relief for lot 1. Did I hear that correctly?
Correct.
And that you don't need relief for lot 2.
Correct.
Okay. And the reason you don't need relief for lot 2 is?
Because lot 2 still has frontage on to Church Road.
Right.
So it's not being used because of the conditions that we mentioned, and it's being the access is actually going to go onto McCorkle.
Okay, and lot 2 needs how much frontage on Church Road?
200 feet.
200 feet, and you need how much depth off of Church Road? 200 feet. So that right now, lot 2, given the numbers you just gave us, which total up to looks like 528.62 feet on Church Road is more.
I don't think we're trying to argue that it would be physically impossible to subdivide these lots in a way that lot 2-3 would be compliant. I think what we're saying is it would be impractical, and what we're talking about is a dimensional variance here. It's not a use variance, so I don't know that we need.
Well, I'm not clear why it's impractical.
That's just
because this particular layout doesn't work doesn't mean it's impractical. It just means this one layout doesn't make sense.
Plus, part of my point was not the fact that you would have to use that for your accessibility on your lot frontage on Church Road. You could still use the shared drive as proposed on your original drawing.
I guess then what is the purpose of having it included in that lot, just for technical compliance?
Yeah.
I don't think it's usable or functional in any way.
It's not functional the way you have it shown either. I mean...
Oh, no, it's functional because it has an access, it has a roadway access. It's just to make, for the dimensionality of the lot to be conformant, it has to have road frontage of certain distance, which it does. Even though it's not going to be utilized because of the grades, we have to provide that there to make it conformant. and is going to access on the church on Corporal Road because of safety reasons.
I think the reason for the flagpole is just so that there is some possibility for access, so it's not totally landlocked. I agree with you. I mean, the flagpole on Lot 3 isn't functional as is, because we've said that we don't want to and don't think we can put a driveway there. But again, the idea, I think, in having that flagpole there was so that there is some street access so you don't have a totally landlocked property.
Yeah, okay. I mean, as far as access, I mean, I agree it's not ideal to have access off of Church Road, but don't the existing, some of the existing, all the existing properties on Church Road there between the small lot where you're showing access into Lot 3 and 4 and Lot 2, those properties have access on Church Road, and it's not ideal for sure. There's breaks in the guardrail, and in fact, they're on a steeper portion. It appears visually when you drive there or walk there or what have you, it appears to be a steeper section where those properties are than where Lot 2 and the portion of Lot 3 is. So I'm not really seeing how that,
not really,
what you have shown accomplishes anything really.
Well, those lots are created for the ordinances.
Yeah.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying it's not. You know, it's not impossible. It's not infeasible. It's not ideal. I'm not suggesting you necessarily move your access, but
I mean, I'm trying to understand what they're doing here. Is they're trying to make lots that they can sell for money, and if you have this weird thing just for the purpose of satisfying our needs to make this work, the numbers work, it doesn't really change anything, because they're still going to access where they're going to access. Otherwise, there's going to be car accidents. So I don't understand why we're trying to force this issue when they've already clearly shown that there's a, you know, they're in good faith making this flag and also being good stewards by keeping Lot 2 reasonable and something that would be desirable. So I'm really confused.
Well, it's
going around.
Well,
and around
it's because
on this.
The flag is what makes it non-compliant, isn't it? On the case of Lot 3.
Now, Lot 3's flag is just to provide some.
It's to, yeah.
It's make it not landlocked.
Okay. Right, but what makes Lot 3 require a variance?
Because we can't get
the width at the frontage. It's either zero or it's 50.
Yeah, the width of the frontage. Right.
We can't get the 200-foot width frontage directly onto it because of the interfering lots.
Well, you can, but not with the size of the lots as they're shown.
So you'd have to go into Lot 2 another 150 feet, but we'd still have to go back another 200 feet.
And you still won't have access to it either.
Frontage to make it compliant.
Right.
You're making it compliant, but for no apparent reason. We're trying to make. Yeah.
Only one person can talk at a time because we have the court reporter who needs to take the testimony down. So let's let the applicant and the witnesses talk, and then each of the board members can say what they want to say.
So even if we would create in Lot 2 a conforming dimensional layout that would be an appendage to Lot 3, it still would be used. Because the access location and the steep grades in that area would not allow.
I think the question is literal technical compliance in this instance more important than what's practical and functional? And I don't think that we need to prove inability to technically comply in the case of a dimensional variance.
Thank you.
Okay. Steve, you were talking, and then why don't you finish what you were saying, and then Mike can say what he wants to say.
I don't know there's anything more to add other than you know, a different configuration of lots could eliminate the need for some of the relief being asked. That's all. So,
And just being very, you know, I know this area very well, And I selfishly don't want to see, I would hate to see you try to make an access point there. And I don't think anyone would be foolish enough to do that, because that's going to create a lot of hardship on Church Road. And where you have it up here is the only place that seems to make sense. And I think what we're talking about is trying to force these numbers to make it work so we don't have a, you know, an issue, so we can say, aha, there is another way. But the reality is it's very impractical. So.
And
I don't want to see traffic accidents near my house.
If we would go that route, we would be back before you asking for waivers from subdivision land development ordinances for grades.
Well, not before that, but back before the board.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any other questions from board members? No. Okay. So just to be also be clear, so this subdivision results in four lots. With lot four being retained. Well, the intention, as Mrs. McCorkle described, is to sell off lots 1, 2, and 3 and to retain lot 4 for your own use. Is that correct? And so this is a, in terms of density, and David, I'm looking for you to confirm this, that's looked at for the entire parcel, correct?
Correct.
And so once the subdivision is done, you can't come back and subdivide lot 4 again later with the same density? In other words, you can't come back later and apply the density rules to subdivide lot 4 further.
You could come back and request a new variance for lot 4 would run into the same issues with, if they would try to subdivide, they wouldn't have the frontage for it. But as far as density, they would still be able to. We require five acres per dwelling unit, so there would be a way per net developable acre. So there would be a way for them to come back and subdivide it. However, they would need to go through zoning hearing board approval for frontage again, and working with the McCorkles on this project the multiple times they came in. Lot 4 is not a very buildable lot. You have wetlands, you have stream, you have steep slopes. It would be very tough to get more than the single lot out of a subdivision plan. Doesn't mean they can't in the future. No. They would still retain the right to come back and ask to subdivide that lot in the future. They would just have to meet the zoning requirements.
Right. And again, part of what I'm trying to just establish here is that the ordinance requires five net developable acres per dwelling unit. Right now, this is showing 3. That is their intention, and a 4th potentially on the property that's being retained, which, without knowing what the some of the factors are for the wetlands and everything else, with a 50-acre parcel, it seems quite reasonable. But the lots that are lots 1 and 2 in particular are less than the 5 acres, but they don't need to be 5 acres. It just needs to be acres net developable in aggregate for the property.
Correct.
And that's for the property as it exists today.
Correct.
What I'm saying is, once you carve out those 3,
yes.
How is that? How does lot 4's acreage viewed once it's carved out, in terms of if a further subdivision is proposed? I know you're saying it's probably not likely anyhow, given the constraints, but
so. That's where it gets into the subdivision and land development ordinance, where we would be using zoning and the SADO in cadence. We would be taking some of the NDA from Lot 4 to apply to Lot 1 to get it up to the 5 acres in the same way that Lot 2. It's, we're looking at this lot can support X amount of houses based
right.
on the acreage today.
So in that process, the net developable acreage that remains with Lot 4 is reduced, I guess you could say, from its raw acreage based yes. on the based on the other lots being smaller.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I'm asking. Thank you. Okay. Anything else from the applicant before we open this up for public comment? Okay, anyone from the public that wishes to testify? If you do, please come up to the podium. Yes, if you please, and please, you'll need to adjust the mic upward. if you would please state your name and your address, please.
My name is Stephen Burston. I live at 2030.
Wait, so you're going to have to speak up.
A little louder? Okay, sorry. Don't have a powerful voice. My name is Stephen Thurston. I live at 2030 Church Road. And just a question I had is, as far as, are there going to be any, in light of what we were talking about?
Well, before we start getting into any content here, let's make sure we have the spelling of your name. And then also, if we'll need to swear you in, a court reporter will need to swear you in. Could you spell your name, please?
First name Stephen, Stephen. Last name Thurston. Yes.
And give me your address again, please.
2030 Church Road.
Okay, thank you.
Just question was just as far as when we're talking about future subdivisions and whatnot. Are there any kind of deed restrictions that the township requires as far as, like, if someone else were to buy a property and all of a sudden come in and decide, hey, we want to change what the original plan was after it's been sold, instead of having, like, a single-family dwelling, which, those looked great and everything, but if they were to come in and start saying, we want to change that plan instead of doing, like, a single-family dwelling, we want to have, kind of like the duplexes that are a little bit further down Church, getting closer to 743. Are there any kind of deed restrictions that are in place that prevent a future buyer from doing that?
No, just zoning restrictions. Yeah. The conservation zoning district, the only permitted residential use is a single family detached dwelling. Okay. So they would need a use variance from this board. Use variances are tough to get because you have to prove that the lot can't be used in a conforming way. Okay. If you can build a duplex, you can build a single family home. So they would be back before this board, and the township would not support a zoning change to accommodate multifamily housing in the conservation zoning district.
Okay. So it's pretty much it's just going to be the single-family homes, and that's it?
Yep.
Okay. That was it.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the hearing, and the board has 45 days to render a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you're aggrieved in any way. Thank you. Okay, any other business? All right, hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Thanks, Tom. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, the board will adjourn to executive session to deliberate on these two cases. Thank you.
You know that your case was approved. That's what we did at the beginning.